Well, Zechariah chapter 1 is really God's answer to the question about, well, God, 70 years have gone by since the desolation of Jerusalem. Why isn't there any activity? You appear to have forgotten. God appeared silent. He appeared absent from the scene. In verse 12, the angel of Yahweh replied, O Yahweh of armies, how long will you not have mercy on Jerusalem and on the cities of Judah, against which you've had indignation these 70 years? Well, the angel here, you could say, is asking on its own behalf, just as Peter says the angels desire to look into things. They don't have complete knowledge. They don't have complete absolute understanding. They don't know, for example, when Jesus will return. Or you could say that this angel was representative of the likes of Jeremiah, the likes of Daniel, suddenly not Jeremiah perhaps, but certainly the likes of Daniel, the likes of Ezra, who were asking this question. Now, Daniel is given the answer in Daniel 9 that, well, the people haven't repented, therefore the 70 years has been recalculated into 70 times 7. Well, the answer here is somewhat different. The answer here focuses rather on the idea that, look, I am not forgetting you. I am intensely active. It might seem that my apparent silence means I'm not interested, but that is not the case. Now, this is a major problem for so many people, that God appears distant, God appears silent, and it's that apparent silence which phases people. And before we go into Zechariah 1 in a little bit more detail, I'd just like to draw your attention to windows onto that apparent silence. One is Joseph, when his brothers come before him, and clearly he is a type of the Lord Jesus at that point, and he acts like he doesn't know them. He acts rather tough to them. When his heart is absolutely bursting for them, and he puts on some kind of mask, either literally or in the appearance and the impression that he gives, talking to them through an interpreter as if he doesn't understand their language when he does. And yet his apparent silence and his apparent hard face were required for the ultimate development of those brethren, so that they might come to properly repent and therefore to be part of God's continued purpose. And yet it was so hard for him to act from behind that mask when his heart was bursting for them. Second example, Ezekiel 24, when Ezekiel's wife dies, and God acknowledges that she was the desire of his eyes, that he really loved her. And he says to Ezekiel, don't mourn. In other words, internalize your grief for her. Don't show anything. And people are obviously going to ask, Ezekiel, you loved your wife. She was the desire of your eyes. Why aren't you mourning for her? And the idea was that Ezekiel was God's man on the earth. God was represented by Ezekiel. And Ezekiel's internalizing, his lack of showing any face of grief, was to represent how God was apparently silent and unmoved by the destruction of the temple, but that was not at all how he really felt inside him. And so here in Zechariah 1, you have this answer, really, as to why God appears not to be doing anything. Well, verse 13, Yahweh answered the angel who talked with him with kind and comforting words. And the idea of comfort is really there in Isaiah 40, comfort, comfort my people, Isaiah 57. Literally, it's Nehemiah, the comfort of Yah. So I think the idea was that Nehemiah and his ministry were intended to be the answer to this. Now, it seems Nehemiah didn't actually quite fulfill everything as he was intended to, but God had certainly set that answer up. And the angel talked with me and said to me, proclaim, that is, go and tell everybody, I am jealous or zealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with a great jealousy. So he's saying, no, cotton wool clouds may wander across the sky, but it doesn't mean I'm doing nothing. I am very zealous. And in Daniel and other parts of Zechariah, you see an insight into the huge angelic workings that were going on behind the scenes, as it were. So God is saying, no, I am very jealous, I'm very zealous. And yet, the Jews who returned were not very zealous. Most of them, of course, weren't zealous at all for this work. They chose to remain in exile, in the soft life. The few who did return, Haggai complains, built their own houses, but couldn't be bothered building God's house. They just got their bit of farmland and considered that they were just going to get on and farm that and hope for good harvests, and that was about the end of their perspective. So God's zealousness, his zeal, his great jealousy or great zeal that was going on in his mind was not matched by that of his people upon the earth. So God's enthusiasm was out of step with the response of his people on earth, and that may be the same today. Verse 15, I'm very angry with the nations that are at ease. Or the Septuagint says, I'm very angry with the heathen that combine to attack her. For as much as I indeed was a little angry, but they combine to attack her for evil. So God was extremely angry with those who were working against his work. Very angry. And yet that is not immediately apparent from the historical record. Therefore, 16, thus says Yahweh, I have returned to Jerusalem with mercy. My house shall be built in it. Well, he had returned, but the majority of his people had stayed in exile and had not returned. And he says, I've returned not only just generally, but I have returned to Jerusalem. In potential, in prospect, the whole thing was set up. But they had not repented, and the word for repent and the word for return are the same. Their return to the land was to be on the basis of their repentance, but they had not repented. And as Ezekiel complains, they were just saying, yeah, well, it's not fair, we didn't do anything wrong. God's unfairly punishing us for the sins of our fathers. And because of this, the huge potential was wasted. In fact, there's a point in Nehemiah where they had to actually get the people who had returned to come and live in Jerusalem because they didn't want to. They just wanted their bit of farmland and just get on with their thing. They weren't bothered about rebuilding Jerusalem or the temple. They just wanted their own little agenda in the name of, oh yes, we have returned to the land. So then God's great enthusiasm and zeal was simply not matched by that of his people on earth. And so the sort of general broad brush sort of complaint that, God's not active, he's like absent. No, not at all. You are the ones whose laziness and short-sightedness and parochial focus just on yourselves is actually limiting what he wants to do and is limiting the huge activity that he wants to be involved in. And these things are so true for us today.